It's episode 81 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing Ted 2, as well as Terminator Genesis and the other Terminator films. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com, or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe. And before we get to the reviews, the movies that we're going to talk about today, two great, fantastic movies. they're great. some movie news, some nerd movie news that's going around. There's some early reviews coming in for Ant-Man. Everything's positive
Fingers
so far.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
James Gunn claims it's the best Marvel movie he's seen since Iron Man 1.
We will see.
And we shall see.
That's high praise. Those tall words right there.
For a little man.
That's
what you did there. I'm hoping it's going to be good. They're saying it's really, they really tied it in well. They said you can still see the Edgar Wright.
I don't think James Gunn would lie.
Yeah, right. He's only Marvel's mouthpiece right now. He's the only director who doesn't hate Marvel right now. Right. Even Joss Whedon's like, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
So high hopes for Ant-Man. Sounds like it might turn out to be pretty good. In other Marvel news, Selma director Ava DuVernay has revealed that she was indeed courted by Marvel to do the Black Panther, and she turned it down. And she said it's because it's, you know, same reason why Edgar Wright left.
Creative differences.
They had different visions for it. And we were getting into a little argument beforehand.
She envisioned a black Panther.
Right? Yeah, we're like the boardroom full of white guys. And Marvel's probably like, can't we just turn him to a white guy and just call him Black Panther?
Yeah, we were. I don't think I see your argument now, but originally I was like, you know, it's not necessarily playing the race card to say that. Just because she's black, she knows something about comic books.
That's true, but it's like I said, being a black woman, she could bring a different perspective to it and make it, I would say, feel a little bit more authentic.
Possibly, but before I would play the race card on that, I would like to know more about what those differences were.
Opposed to... That's true, and sometimes it works out well, because like the Wonder Woman, her name that got, that left the project, she wanted her to have a tiger sidekick or something. But, you know, well, I'm sure that'll come out in the wash, because I know, you know, the Ant-Man stuff is slowly leaking out.
Yeah, it'll eventually come out. They'll just wait till the movie's out there.
But they've got time for Black Panther, because they've since, I don't think we even talked about this, but when the Spider-Man announcement came through, they pushed Black Panther back. Now it's coming out in 2018 now.
Right.
Do we even talk about Spider-Man?
Actually, I was just about to ask that.
I don't think we did.
Up on the podcast. So,
Tom Holland.
He has been poached selected. As the new Spider-Man.
And I think I was wrong when we were discussing the people and David Fincher's thing. He's not the kid in David Fincher's thing that got postponed. That was one of the other kids that was in the running.
So we did talk about this.
This is before he got cast.
Oh, okay.
This is when they announced that David Fincher's thing was on hold, basically.
Right.
And we thought that, maybe the kid was getting cast as Spider-Man. But it was not that kid. I forget that kid's name.
That's right.
I got that kid confused with Tom Holland. And Tom Holland's not in David Fincher's thing.
Right, Tom Holland was on the Broadway version of Bill Elliott? Was that?
No, Billy Elliott. Maybe. He was in the...
He was in the musical.
He was in The Impossible, wasn't he? With the with Ewan McGregor and the tsunami. Is Naomi Watts in that? I think he was in that.
I mean, relatively, he's an unknown for the most part.
Yeah.
Which is...
And he's really young.
Which is a good way to go.
I mean,
if you got to reboot Spider-Man for fifth time, whatever it is, might as well keep it generic right now. You know, build somebody into the role.
I'm sure.
Hey, guy, want to ruin your and or create your career?
Andrew Garfield sitting on a couch with a long, like, Rumpelstiltskin beard going, fuck you!
Yeah. I liked him a lot in the role.
He was really good.
He was getting too old to go back to the drawing board with Spider-Man this. So they had to do what they had to do.
Yeah, they're really obsessed with making him a high school student.
Yeah.
And some people have pointed out online, they're like, yeah, he didn't spend a lot of time in high school, but, you know, how about adult Peter Parker who can actually have sex with a girl? You know what I'm saying? It's like, and not.
Oh, Doug. Didn't have sex in high school.
No, no, I'm just saying that, like, you know.
Yeah. Clearly, they would never do that.
If you make them too young, it's, you know, love story's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, but that's him. He's the new Spider-Man. And the other big news was that.
Principal Victoria Tudor Spider-Man on the side.
Spider erotica. Ooh, sling your web on me.
You're my Tudor. All
right. Was that Turn Off the Dark? Was that from the YouTube musical?
I think that's from the made-for-TV movie The Tudor. You can imagine what that's about.
Spin your web on me, yeah. Spider-Man.
I'll spin my web wherever I want.
On your face. All right, this is now getting adults only. and the other big movie news was that in anticipation of next week's trip to Comic-Con.
Not our trip to Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you we should have gone.
Yeah.
Fucking you two. Fucking up our plans. Because, yeah, Star Wars will be there. But this is not Star Wars news. Zack Snyder has... They did a whole cover story on Batman Superman in Entertainment Weekly. And Zack Snyder, they talked to him. They talked to Ben Affleck. Freshly, soon-to-be-divorced Ben Affleck. And,
That's right. Bennifer no more.
Or will it be Bennifer again?
Oh, God.
According to the gossip.
Some other Bennifer.
Yeah. Like,
another big booty Bennifer.
Jenny from the Block, perhaps. But anyway, they talked to everybody in it. And on the cover, you have the three of them. You have.
She used to give a little. Now she.
Now she got a lot. You've got Superman, Henry Cavill, Batman, Ben Affleck, who looks like a freaking professional wrestler. I think it might be the way he's turned in the picture because he looks massive. I'm just like, Jesus.
Big chest pumping out. Yeah.
He totally looks like, he does look like Frank Miller's Batman. And then right in the middle, with her sword drawn, is Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot. Yep. And she looks good.
Yeah.
Costume looks good. It's pretty authentic from the comics.
She said she's pretty nervous to play the role.
Oh, yeah.
I would be too. Yeah.
Mainly because I'm a man, but.
that would be very subconscious.
I'd be very nervous to play Wonder Woman. This is really leaving much of the imagination. She says she likes the sword play.
This is my armor?
She says she likes doing the sword play, but she's still learning how to use the golden lariat.
Lasso of truth.
Exactly. And then there were some other pictures in there. They have a picture of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor pre-baldness.
And
or if he's wearing a wig, perhaps.
Yeah.
There's a picture of the face-off between Batman and Superman, which looks like it's right out of The Dark Knight Returns. And then you've also got a picture of, which I thought was the most interesting picture,
Wayne.
Which was Bruce Wayne and Diana Prince, who is Wonder Woman's
alter ego, right.
And they are somewhere, some fancy ball or something like that. And
clearly they're dancing, and they're in the middle of the ballroom, probably were dancing.
Right, but Ben Affleck did say, he said this was an interesting scene because it's two people who know, like, so they know who each other are at that point. It's not like you know. Batman Returns, where they figure it out. Like they know each other. So this is possible. What's possible is that maybe while Batman is there
I know it ends with,
you know, mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it. So can a kiss.
A kiss can be even deadlier if you mean it.
What? So What could be possible is that because Batman, they basically said that Batman is there, as people have surmised, he's there to stop, to put an end to Superman before he can get out of control, because that's what his fear is.
Good luck with that, Batman. You human being, Batman.
His suit is made of kryptonite, and it's possible that Wonder Woman is there to recruit him for the Justice League or something like that.
She'd have a better chance. I just gotta say, she'd have a better chance.
She just shows a little leg and, hey, Superman. Yeah. Hey, you're not Lois. Or perhaps it's like the Justice League cartoon, and Batman and Wonder Woman have a little something going on.
I hope they don't go that route.
They do, because
out the gate,
because she can't be killed.
Yeah, but like other girlfriends of Batman. That's so cliche. I mean, I have no doubt they'll allude to something.
Like making her a love interest, yeah, I guess would be cliche. But the two of them, I mean, they really only did that in the cartoon, like towards the end.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Don't lead with that is what I'm getting at. You know,
I don't know. Part of me thinks it'd be interesting to give them the history, you know, before they even show up on screen. But, you know, I saw those pictures and I started getting pretty excited for that movie. I'm like, this is going to be pretty cool, I think. And then Zack Snyder was online and he was, quote, defending the ending of Man of Steel. And, you know, he said, no, he goes, we were always going to address, you know, the destruction and all that stuff in the next movie. He goes, and that's what's going to happen right in this movie. So it's, you know.
I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, yeah. That's what you would do.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that they.
Which clearly will be why a lot of people hate Superman.
Right, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I mean, destroyed half the fucking world.
Actually, alien fights. Donald Trump makes an appearance, and he is the main guy against Superman because he's an illegal immigrant.
Like, you're fired.
So, you're fired.
Superman, you're fired.
Hey, Superman, you're fired. You come here, you rape our women. Thanks, Donald Trump. Shut up. So,
I'm building a golden hotel.
He needs a job now that he is not doing the Celebrity Apprentice anymore.
Well, he's got a job. He's. I don't know if you've heard. He's running for president.
That's not a job. Because he will not win.
I can only imagine why he's doing that. I don't know.
Well, it's obviously not publicity for his show that doesn't exist anymore.
I truly believe he did not expect that backlash.
Probably not.
Because I don't think he would have done it had he foreseen like losing all his sponsorships and
he lost Miss Universe pageant is on anymore. Macy's, whatever.
His line at Macy's is gone.
His line at Macy's gone. NBC, what toupees?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean that was steady income. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he needs it.
Anyway.
Anyway. So that's all the nerd movie news.
I'd vote for him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. God. Oh my God. I can't believe
there are people in this world in this
that
country
will vote for him. God. Okay, so that's all the nerd movie news to print and on audio.
Yeah, here's the man who let Brett Michaels be the Celebrity Apprentice. It's our new president.
Yeah, his cabinet's going to be like Omarosa and like fucking. Was David Hasselhoff ever on it? I forget.
Probably Joan Rivers would have probably had a spot.
She probably would have. Yeah. Maybe Melissa. Maybe we'll get Melissa.
There you go. Yeah.
Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman's going to be on the cabinet. Yeah. Fucking idiot. Okay, so let's talk about.
This is a great, great cabinet. This is a great, great cabinet I picked up for.
He would never say that. He would never say that. He would say, this is the greatest cabinet nice. That ever existed. Right.
It's huge.
Alexander Hamilton can kiss my nuts.
This will be huge.
I fucking hate that guy.
More in Trump news next week. Yeah. Let's just start finding out anything Trump.
Trump podcast. Okay, now for the fifth time, let's. Oh, somebody just wiped that outside the window here on a skateboard.
He flipped the skateboard into his face. All right.
Anyway. Well, in line with that mean-spirited humor, let's talk about Ted 2.
Ted 2, where the twist is the teddy bear turns into Ted Knight in the end.
I wish.
Ted Danson?
Well, we're waiting. Ted 2 is the latest turn from Seth MacFarlane. Further Adventures of the Talking Teddy Bear.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this movie, basically, if you've seen the trailer, you know what it's all about. Ted is trying to have a baby. Well, technically, they're not really clear about it in the trailer. It's because Ted and his newlywed wife want to adopt a baby. And because I think I said after we saw the trailer, I'm like, she can have any baby she wants, but drugs and stuff have ruined her her plumbing.
One of the funniest things.
One of the funnier scenes in the movie, yes, with David Dennis.
I've never seen this before in my life. Yes. In all my years as a doctor, I've never seen this. It made me want to quit. First I vomited, then I wanted to quit. So that was funny.
We won't mind spoiling the jokes in this one because we're going to save you some money if we do.
So, right. So,
Dennis Haysbert plays the doctor in that situation.
Yeah, it's a brief scene.
It's a brief cameo. Yeah. Liam Neeson has a funny cameo. Apparently, we missed the end because it was supposed to be at the end.
There's a cut scene at the end. If you do go see it, stay through the credits because there is a small cut scene.
There's a callback to Liam Neeson's part. Whatever. I'll watch it on YouTube. So basically, so they're trying to adopt a baby, and that raises red flags about Ted's illegal citizenship, basically, his
Status,
status.
citizenship status, right? It's just kind of, it hasn't been discussed at this point, right?
Right.
Now, how it hasn't been discussed, how did he get credit cards and whatnots? There's a good question. How did he get a job
The
without a Social Security card?
answer is Seth MacFarlane is the laziest writer in Hollywood.
Right.
That's the answer. So he has to go to court and fight for his not just his
His
citizenship,
right
but
to
it's
party, essentially.
yes. He has to go back, he has to go to court and fight for his personhood,
Right.
basically, because they just look at him as a
I can't
teddy bear.
remember. I can't remember who brought it up. What friend I was talking to, they made a good point. It shouldn't really have been about whether he's a person or not, because clearly he's not a person.
Right.
He's a fucking teddy bear with magical powers bestowed upon him. That's not in question. It should be more about an equal rights thing.
Right.
Does he deserve the same rights as a person? It shouldn't have been about is he a person. Not that that would have saved the movie, but
So he and Mark Wahlberg, his character John, they go in to get a lawyer, and they get
who by the way has since been dumped by his
well, they
fiance.
got divorced. Yeah, they got
Oh,
divorced,
that's right, they were married.
and they got divorced because Mila Kunis got pregnant, and they wrote her out of the movie. So they go to find a lawyer. They get a novice lawyer played by Amanda Seyfried,
Gollum
and yeah, Gollum Eyes, and she is solely in this movie to be a love interest for Mark Wahlberg because he has absolutely nothing to do in this movie,
Yeah,
basically.
that's her only vehicle there.
Yeah, I mean he went from being the lead character in the first movie to being
I mean,
some
I didn't see
schmo.
him as that being that different from the first and second movie.
I
Like,
didn't.
I didn't
He
notice a difference.
didn't have anything to do really in this movie. They could have made him some guy named Tom, and it would have been the same. Oh, sorry, would have been the
Well, I mean,
same.
I think they could have done that in the first one too, is what I'm saying. I mean, it didn't matter who he was in the first one either. It's all about the fucking talking teddy bear.
Well, yeah, but the first one was his story. It was him and Mila Kunis and
Right.
them trying to work. This just felt shoehorned in there. Personally, I think it would have been better if they had even written him out and said, "Oh, they're on their honeymoon. Hey, we should get married."
Right. Didn't even need
And then
him.
made
Yeah.
his role go to the wife, and then you could have seen their marital problems play out, hilariously on instead of having one fight and then,
Right.
then they a be his stereotype cast as a coworker tells him,
Hilarity ensues in
yeah,
the
tells him
honeymoon room.
have a baby and that'll fix your
Oh my
problems.
God, I don't have a dick.
Exactly.
Just figure that out.
So, meanwhile, while they're going to court and all this stuff, Giovanni Ribisi is back from the first movie. He works for Hasbro as a janitor,
He's a
and
janitor.
his plan—he hatches a plan with one of the executives there that when Ted is deemed to be property and not a person, I mean, it's real like slave undertones going on here. And but as usual, the message is very heavy-handed.
Right. He basically is saying, once Ted's property, you can steal him, and it's minor. It becomes a minor crime at
Yeah.
best. At best, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So that's the idea,
And
and then the idea is he will help. He will steal Ted to help the president of Hasbro figure out how Ted works to manufacture Teds for every human boy or
what
girl.
he says almost exactly is, we can cut him open and then see what makes him special. The problem is Giovanni
It's
Ribisi.
magic makes him
It's
special.
not just that. You already cut him open in the last
Yeah,
movie, and you know it's in there.
it's
Cotton and
stuffing.
fluff.
It's
And that's
stuffing,
it.
right?
And
'Cause it's
that's
magic that makes him special.
right. And that leads see, so when they go down that path where they say, "Oh, we're gonna cut him open and see what makes him work," then you have to be like, "Okay, well, if you're gonna go this route, where does all the food Teddy, where does that go? Or where does
Well, it's like I mentioned to you in the theater. Hey, how does the stuffed teddy bear get high in the first place?
Exactly. How does he get high? Where is it? Now, what would have been hilarious is if they cut him open, even in the
And
first
his
movie.
guts poured out all over the place. Hilarious!
That would have been funny. Or if it was just
Human
like,
pinata.
if it was like alcohol-soaked cotton,
Right.
that would have been hilarious. That would have been inspired. Seth MacFarlane does not do that. So, So then they have to try and get him back from Donnie, and and Donnie, he really, you know, he really grew as a character because he exhibited he exhibited some Boba Fett-esque tracking skills, considering they got lost for an entire fucking day in the middle of nowhere, and yet he still found them in New York. That was amazing. He's fucking Boba Fett, that guy.
That's good.
So
what was his quote unquote catchphrase?
Fresh cakes for urinal cakes.
Fresh cakes.
Fucking stupid. So they all end up at Comic-Con in New York, which led to the greatest scene in the whole movie. Not thanks to Ted, not thanks to Mark Wahlberg, but thanks to Patrick Warburton and Michael Dorn from Star Trek The Next Generation.
So if you don't know who those two guys are, they are heavy in geek fandom already.
Patrick
So they played a gay couple in this movie. We'd already met them.
You met Patrick Warburton in the first one. Michael Dorn.
No, I'm sorry. In this movie,
right. Yeah.
Previous to the Comic-Con scene,
right.
We already they knew Ted and
John
and John, and when they they're not playing themselves. They're
playing characters.
Just playing characters. But then they show up at Comic-Con, and Patrick Warburton is dressed as the Tick, who we all know he played the live action Tick, and then Dorn. Like, played he's dressed as Worf, but they're in like the worst costumes ever. Like one of them's like the Tick costume is just this cruddy spandex, and the Worf costume's got like the mouthpiece falling off and shit.
And the only reason why the two of them go to Comic-Con is to basically make fun of nerds. And it's funny.
It is funny.
That is the best part.
Like, there's like four or five scenes that it keeps cutting back to them on the floor. They like throw drinks at them. You drink, nerd. He's like throws Patrick Warburton just.
Michael Dorn just looks at the guy so seriously. He just goes, "Have a drink." And he just throws a drink.
At his face. So that leads to the funniest group of scenes in the movie for sure. If you are familiar with those roles. If you're not, that's going to be lost on you a little bit. Those two, they're still funny.
Right.
But the funny,
the meta level is that
they're dressed
as their former characters.
Their former characters, yeah.
I know it was funny that they did the Tick, and I guess that was most obvious. I would have loved it, though, if they had dressed Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson from Venture Brothers with the blonde mullet and everything. That would have been awesome.
It's more
visually like Venture Brothers would have been like another level. He would have been like, oh yeah, he's that guy. Overall, with Ted 2, I was mostly bored, honestly. There's a lot of setting up jokes and stuff like that, and then the jokes don't even really work. And I was reminded a lot of his last movie, which was A Million Ways to Die in the West, which you deemed was a dollar's worth of comedy. So this Ted is probably even less. Ted's probably 75 cents worth of comedy.
I don't know. I mean, I think I liked it like a scotch better than you did. I'd probably give it a C minus, C somewhere that.
Give it a D plus.
Somewhere in that range. I don't know, but it's
and I could have gone lower.
It's by no means a good movie. I mean, it is barely entertaining.
Yeah.
It does have some parts that you will laugh hard at, but there's not enough sustainability.
Right.
Liam Neeson's little cameo was funny.
I thought it was funny.
Little shoehorned in.
But I thought it was a lot like a Family Guy bit where they beat it.
It was a lot like a Family. It ran a little too long. Yeah. They needed to cut it by about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, just the one line would have been good. And have him move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like in pure Seth MacFarlane fashion. He milks the hell out of that joke.
Yes, he does.
Which works better in a 30-minute cartoon than it does in a feature-length film.
Oh, and we didn't even get to what we both complained about right from the get-go. The fucking opening song and dance number.
What was that? What did you call it? Because you nailed it when you
It's like he was trying to reapply for the job to do the Oscars.
Yeah. But what did you say? You just called. You said he was
self-indulgent.
That's the word. It was self-indulgent scene of just this.
It was like a
song
old,
and dance number. It was kind of like
an old forties, an old forties song and dance number.
Girls Are Diamonds. Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friends type of number.
Or Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Okay. But it was just this old school, like,
but it worked in that
Fred
movie.
Astaire type of dance, yeah. song yeah. and dance number that it just didn't fit in the movie, like, at all. Like it, they could have... I kept waiting for it to break down and maybe the set fall over or something funny happen out of it.
And it just, for me, I didn't have a problem with the actual, like, them doing that. It's just, it went on for so long.
It filled the entire credits.
And then there was no joke after, right. Like, oh, well, that got out of hand or something like that.
There needed to
be
a joke in there. And it was no joke at all. And it was, like you said, it was self-indulgent and yeah, we get it, Seth MacFarlane. You like those
song and dance
and classical numbers. We got it.
You know, everything was
you've made an album. We get it.
Everything in this movie was just so heavy-handed, and Morgan Freeman, like I, you know, forgetting about Dennis Haysbert, you know, and Michael Dorn being in it, you know, Morgan Freeman for a while there, I was like, oh, is this the only non-stereotype black guy you could find? Because like the lady that works with him is a total fucking stereotype. Then there was another guy who was like. Out there, and you're just like, dude, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just lazy writing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a sequel for a sequel's sake, for sure. Nothing inspiring about
there. Didn't there didn't need to be. Like, I would have. It's like I said, I would have rather they had not even had. And I wrote this in my review. I said I never thought I'd ever say these words. Mark Wahlberg is wasted in this movie. Yeah. I'm just like usually when the script is bad, Mark Wahlberg is bad. He was fine. It's just they gave him nothing to do.
There was nothing for him to do.
And it's like I said, they should have just had the
wife.
There was
a couple of scenes that were funny, but of course ruined in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, movies like this that are killed in trailers because mm-hmm. they take the funny parts and just dump them into one of three trailers throughout the run of the trailers and kill it. But, I mean, if you enjoyed the first Ted... you're probably going to enjoy this, Ted, but I would think degrees less.
Yeah.
If
you really want to watch it, I'd wait for
video. The first Ted was at least original in concept.
Yeah.
So it had humor just for that alone.
Yeah.
This has none of that.
My whole thing that I was getting at with like the stuffing and stuff like that is that, and I mentioned this in my review, is that the reason why he's a lazy writer is not because of the comedy or anything like that. It's because when you write about magic... you have to know the rules of that magic as a writer. And if how is Donnie going to figure out how Ted works when Seth MacFarlane doesn't even fucking know how Ted works? You know, so it's just like, he could have done so many inspired things with this. And this is how I felt about like the first Ted.
Well, the problem is, even with the rules of magic, that aside, it's already been known. It's not like they come to a place where they realize it. It was magic that made him work.
Right.
They've known this from the beginning.
Right.
So there's no dissection that you would ever think would work.
Right.
To figure out this vague concept of magic, and anyone would know that, even fresh cakes.
Right. But this is something that annoyed me in the first one, that they didn't really they discover that magic exists basically. And then they do nothing with it. And they don't even do anything. And it's just Seth MacFarlane just writes stuff and says, you must accept this
You know what might have been a funny concept in this one? He runs across another magical animal.
Yeah.
There's another one out there because clearly there would be.
Yeah. That would be a good idea.
That's a good idea. Hey.
Hey.
Trademark. Copyright.
You just wrote Ted 3.
Mark my words, Ted 3, he's going to run across...
No, there won't be one.
Yeah, you're
there won't be one. It's bombing at the box office.
It's not doing well,
I mean, it's not bombing, but it's not doing nearly
that. That would have been, at a minimum, that would have been a good side plot.
Yeah.
You know, you got another magical fucking stuffed animal.
Love triangle with a female teddy bear that came to life.
Yeah.
And the, what's her face?
Anatomically correct. Anyway.
Speaking of... movies.
Reboots.
Speaking of movies that ruin things in the trailer, let's talk about Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, I mean,
with an I and a Y.
After seeing it, I can't decide if it was fully ruined in the trailer. It certainly was unnecessary.
Right. It ruined part of a scene, basically.
Leading up to the first after the first 30 minutes, I get because that twist.
Right.
You'd be like, shit.
Right. So full spoilers on for Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, so here we are, Terminator Genesis.
The fifth.
Schwarzenegger reprising his role once again.
The fifth Terminator movie that nobody asked for.
Papa Terminator.
Yeah, Papa Terminator. Papa
Terminator.
Wow.
That was a little much for me. Though, if you grew up, it makes sense. I mean,
here are the things that I actually liked about the movie before we delve into the whole thing. I liked Schwarzenegger. I thought he was good in the role.
He was
good.
He played it tongue-in-cheeky.
He was a little too Basil Exposition for me. And, like, to the point where, like, he knew stuff that he probably shouldn't have known.
But he had to be. Because it's so convoluted.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was like,
what are you going to do? You know, you got to try to explain to someone.
Here's my trademark and copyright. I said, basically, the Terminators are supposed to be, you know, limited programming,
right,
directives.
Right.
They just go and kill.
They're not necessarily smart.
Right.
Or why has he got such a...
In this one, they put Mr. Wizard into a Terminator and sent him back. And then I said, trademark.
That is the problem. Because...
Trademark. Write a screenplay where Mr. Wizard puts his consciousness into a Terminator.
Well, that's they do that way too often in this movie.
Yeah.
They made the Terminator really smart. And that's not the point of a Terminator.
Like, when he starts...
Terminator terminates.
When he starts talking about the new Terminator, I'm like... I feel like Emilia Clarke said, "Yeah, we probably should have known that a while ago."
Yeah.
It's like, not right now,
right,
idiot.
Right.
In fact,
you probably would have explained that to me as I was growing up.
Exactly.
At some point.
I did like Schwarzenegger back in the role. The action is pretty good.
I'll say this: it wasn't like some masterful Schwarzenegger role, but
no.
It fit. Like it.
Right.
I didn't feel like it was kitschy or gimmicky to back in this movie.
No, he fit right back into it.
Yeah.
And the action was good. The Terminator Arnold fight was cool.
That was ruined in the trailer.
Yeah, when he fights the younger Terminator.
No one needed to see that coming.
Right.
No one needed to see that coming in the trailer.
Right. So that was good.
That was awesome.
Some of the other action was good. Jai Courtney's in this. I didn't absolutely despise him like I usually do. Although I saw this other podcast, it was IGN UK's podcast, and this one guy basically said what I said about this guy before. He's like, he's a charisma vacuum. I'm like, damn. I'm pretty sure that's what I said about the guy that was in the last Terminator movie, Sam Worthington. But the same can go for Jai Courtney.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. Oh, no, J.K. Simmons was good, too.
He was funny.
He was a fun role that
he's kind of played the crazed detective that no one believes.
Yeah. I thought Jason Clarke did a pretty good job, but he was... We'll get to his character, his character was fucked up. But that's not his fault.
No, that's the writer. And it's funny, after thinking about it. Now, granted, it had been a while, so I'd have to revisit it.
Right.
But I think he actually does look a lot like the guy that played...
I think
Reese,
he did have the scars.
Reese in,
No, John Connor.
I'm sorry. I jumped trains.
Right.
Not John Connor.
No, Jai Courtney looks nothing like Michael Biehn.
I think he's right. I think the two Reese characters actually look alike.
John Connor, you said Reese again.
No, I'm talking about Reese.
Really?
Yeah, I think that he looks like the old Reese.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he's bigger built. He's a bigger built, but
in the face. I don't think he looks like Michael Biehn at all.
I think he does.
I don't think he looks like him.
I think he does.
Well, you can be wrong. So the one cast member that I couldn't buy, though, as much as I love her to death, was Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
Matt Goldberg from Collider, actually, he put it perfectly. He said she's too cherubic to be to be this badass character. He hit it right on the head. Her features are too youngish.
Yeah.
She needs to be a little bit more hardened. And which is funny, because in the TV show...
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Lena Headey,
who
plays Queen Cersei in Game of Thrones,
plays
Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
And
she's a tougher
lady.
That's for sure. Like she wasn't quite tomboy enough to have been raised by a freaking Terminator and raised to fight the apocalypse.
Right.
Like Linda Hamilton was.
Yeah.
Like come Judgment Day, she was like all badassed out.
Yeah.
Right? And Mary Clark still seemed all...
Yeah.
Flowery and
And it's not her fault.
No,
I mean, she did
the
best
way
she could
wanted to present her on the screen.
Well, she did the best she could. She was just miscast.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she did the best she could. Because we've seen her in other stuff besides Game of Thrones, and she was great. She was great in Dom Hemingway. She was really good.
I love Dom.
Yeah, I know you did. That's why I mentioned it. Now we're gonna go full spoilers on as we talk about this turd. So
let's go with plot.
Terminator Genisys starts off like the original Terminator movies. One and two. Well, one, I guess, does that start in the future, doesn't it?
Man, Man, it's been so long since I've seen that one.
I can't remember.
Does it actually start out in the future? I'm not sure. I thought it actually started out with...
I'm getting word that yes.
Okay. I thought it actually started out with the bubbles of him...
But of course, my source could be talking about Terminator 2.
Probably.
So anyway, but in Terminator 2, we know that it does start there.
Definitely.
And
definitely 2.
So it starts in the future, and it's basically the end of the war against the machines. And John Connor's hitting two fronts. One is Colorado, which if you saw Terminator 3, you know that's where that's Skynet was born, basically. Yes. And then they're hitting another place in Los Angeles, which is where the time machine is.
Right.
They get there too late. They...
Which, here I go with problem one, which a lot of movies like to do this for no reason whatsoever. Leading a manned expedition and not explaining why they're going there and what this weapon is. He's the only one that knows it. Yeah. He doesn't tell anyone for no reason other than because the audience should go, oh.
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, because guess what? If you're like running a mission, you explain that mission to your people. You don't have them get there and go like, Hey, what's that thing?
Exactly, right. So, good point. So, they're too late, and the T-800 is sent back in time to 1984 to go kill Sarah Connor. So Kyle Reese, who's played by Jai Courtney, he basically says, I'll go help her, because you've made me try and fall in love with your mother since we met.
Hey, why'd you give me this picture of your mom? That's kind of creepy.
Exactly. So, yes. As he goes back in time,
I can just see him like behind like a bunch of junked cars, like whacking it to a picture of his best friend's mom.
Anyway, so they explain that the reason, and I don't know if they ever did this in any of the other Terminator movies. I think they did it just for this one, just to make the plot work, even though it doesn't. So they say that only organic material can go through the time machine, and the reason why the T-800s can go
is because they're cloaked in
human skin.
Right.
Point that Matt Goldberg pointed out on Collider, and then I pointed out in my review about the newer Terminator. They're all metal, right? How can they go back in time?
Unless the idea is that somehow when they shift into human form, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you could say, right?
Yeah, it's kind of weak. Yeah. So, but as...
Talk about the T-1000s.
Right, T-1000s, right, the liquid ones, and then the new guy, which has no designation.
None whatsoever. I don't know what that was.
So as Reese is going back in time, he sees that John Connor gets attacked.
By one of his own men. Who was one of the newest generation he wasn't. That's at the time.
Right.
Maybe you don't know. Yet.
Who he is.
However, the actor is Matthew Smith.
Right.
Who, as you may know, is, Doc, we already said spoilers throughout.
Right.
Thing,
right? But still.
Yeah.
It's nice to remind people.
Who you might know is the Doctor from Doctor Who,
after
the
David 11th Tennant.
Doctor, right?
After David Tennant before.
And, you know, finally after seeing this movie, I realized why they kept at least that a secret.
Oh,
Like, they didn't even... It may not even still be on there.
It's not on IMDb.
Beforehand, if you looked at IMDb, it listed him, but it doesn't list who he plays.
It said, like, Alex. Right. He plays a guy named Alex.
So, you see him grab John Connor and basically say, like, you didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you?
Yeah.
And then Reese is
sent back in time. He shows up in 1984, and a T-1000 is waiting for him.
Immediately waiting
for him. And the T-1000 is played by, I can't pronounce his name, but he's the guy who played Storm Shadow in G.I. Joe.
Which is pretty interesting that he's waiting for him right there, considering all the other time jumps. They can't seem to get quite right as far as the location goes. But in this one, he knows exactly where he's going to be.
So the T-1000 pursues Kyle Reese into like a department store. Two cops show up. One gets killed. Another one is...
Where he does change into all his clothes from the original Terminator.
Yes.
Yeah. He puts on those Nikes and the trench coat.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, across town...
Meanwhile,
across town, the T-800, which they did a really great job on. It's basically this this actor who's got a body that looks like Schwarzenegger, and then they basically digitally put Schwarzenegger's younger face on it.
It was cool.
And it looked great.
It was cool.
It looked really good. He shows up, and a figure comes out of the darkness. The hood is pulled back, as it was in the trailer, and it's revealed to be an older Arnold Schwarzenegger. He goes, I've been waiting for you.
Like, gray hair and all, like, fully grayed out.
Not completely yet. That's later.
The hair's pretty gray.
But it's later when it gets real gray. Anyway, they proceed to fight, and it's a cool fight. It's really cool. And
I mean, for given what's happening, it's pretty seamless. I mean, it's good stuff,
They defeat the Terminator, and then he and Sarah Connor
get... He doesn't defeat the Terminator.
Right.
They kind of tag team it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the two of them go to save Kyle Reese. They reveal that what happened was somebody, who they'll never reveal at the end of the movie, sent Arnold Schwarzenegger back to 1973.
I can only assume why they...
Don't ask me. To fight another T-1000, right, who was sent to kill Sarah Connor when she was a child, and
because of the previous time twist, it changed everything up.
Right.
So yeah, inevitably someone sent Schwarzenegger back to
protect her.
To protect her,
just like in Terminator.
Just like in Terminator 2, but now she's being protected since she was like 5 or 6.
Then he basically raises her because
her parents are killed by the other Terminator. Yeah,
and so he basically raises her, and so she calls him Pops throughout the movie, and Kyle Reese is like, "What the fuck is going on? This isn't supposed to happen."
Which doesn't make any sense because you know what. Terminator is, once again, is programmed to terminate, not raise a child.
Right. I mean, the best he could do is protect her.
There's zero chance he would have done anything to raise her.
Right.
Like,
so, then the Terminator reveals, nice to meet you. That was funny. The Terminator reveals that, they call him the Guardian. That's his character name in IMDb, so we'll call him the Guardian to differentiate. The Guardian tells Kyle Reese that they've built a time machine.
Because he knows everything.
Because, like I said, he's Mr. Wizard. And he built a time machine, and they needed that T-800, the younger one. They needed some chip to control it.
Basically, they needed the chip for the CPU to be able to...
Whatever.
To make their machine work.
Can he explain how he has technology from 2029 to actually build the time machine?
No.
So Sarah Connor goes, we're going to 1997 to stop Skynet. And what happened was, when Kyle Reese came back in time, he started having memories of a life he never really lived. And apparently Skynet is now born.
He didn't know where they were.
Right. And because of all this time twisting, Skynet is now born in 2017.
As Genesis.
As Genesis.
Right.
Unfortunately, no appearance by Phil Collins or the other...
No, I was expecting that too. I was expecting like a Phil Collins Terminator. She seems to have an invisible
touch.
I'm a cat.
That will not be the song I play at the end of this episode. whatever. It's convoluted as shit.
Against all odds.
That's Phil Collins.
Yeah.
That's what Phil Collins.
Still.
I have my song chosen. So.
I mean, clearly you're opening up with.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Of course.
I don't even have to buy that, but I can just do that into the microphone.
We'll cut the track after
this. They go to 2017. This was cool part two. They say to Pops, well, how are you going to get there? He's like, I'm going to take the long way.
Do we explain Pops? Pops is who she calls.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. I said that, yeah. The Guardian Pops says, I'm going the long way. And what that means is, the reason why he looks older is because they say that the organic material ages just like a normal human,
I so wanted to see like an absolutely elderly Terminator, like with a walker.
Like, I'm coming to kill you.
I will be there in a minute.
So they go to 2017. They get arrested because they show up in the middle of a highway.
I keep it now.
They show up in the middle of a highway, naked.
Yeah. As I aforementioned, you know, right where they want to be, in the middle of a highway.
It's possible that they could claim that where they were
was safe because
where they were when they launched into time turned into a highway in 2017, possibly. Maybe they built a highway there. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. In that case, they got really lucky to land in the median of the highway.
Right, exactly. they get arrested because the Terminator got caught in traffic and he couldn't get them, which was funny.
That was
fun. And they get arrested. They start telling people. They kind of keep it quiet. Then J.K. Simmons shows up.
Yeah, they kind of keep it quiet until they don't keep it quiet.
Well, no, because J.K. Simmons shows up.
Right, they find someone who believes, who they see will believe them.
Because he is the cop that Kyle Reese saved in the department store back in 1984.
So he's the one who called in the initial report of robots coming to kill somebody.
And so he saw the bubble on the internet and all this. He's like, oh my God, they're from the future or something like that. And then Kyle Reese basically goes, yeah, this is my serial number. I'm from the future and all this stuff. And he's like, I knew it. And he helps them escape, but only after somebody else comes along to help them escape. And that is John Connor.
All right.
Jason Clarke shows up as John Connor, and he's going to help them escape. And
explain some gives a half-baked explanation as to how the timeline changed again.
Right.
He had to come back to save them.
And then what happens is the Terminator finally catches up with them in the parking deck, and he immediately blows John Connor away with a shotgun. And then
John Connor's just dead. Wait.
No, he's not. It's revealed that John Connor is kind of like a hybrid.
He's a he's somehow in the future they have managed to merge. So it's not like they killed John Connor, but they completely at a molecular level, as the T-100, the Guardian explains. How the fuck he knows.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have that's what I'm saying.
Like,
he wouldn't have
Amelia Clark should have been like, maybe you should have known that before.
If you did know that, maybe you should have told me. But if you've been here this whole time and that's like brand new technology, how do you know about it at all?
So, did we even say who Matt Smith is? Matt Smith reveals. Okay, so there's a cut scene after that where
he's revealed that Matt Smith is Skynet. He is
the physical embodiment.
He's the embodiment of Skynet. He is the personified Skynet.
And I'll explain to you why the Terminator movies are just ripping off X-Men left and right in a minute. But John Connor is this new Terminator, basically. And instead of doing something clever with it, where they say, I am the next step in human evolution, no, he's just going to duke it out with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And he does try to say that, sort of. He does try to explain, come with me because this is...
If you want to live.
I mean, he tried to say, you know, this is the way things are going to be. He almost went there.
It was half-baked.
But here's my problem with the new Terminator. So all you need is a magnet, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
All you need is a magnet. And also, apparently he also has the ability to teleport because he shows up anywhere within seconds.
Yeah.
Like he's at that office doing stuff.
I think it's harder to kill a T-1000 than it is this.
So like he's like in an office doing stuff, you know, just like hanging out, and then he all of a sudden like they cut to like across the fucking city and he's all of a sudden he's there. He's like, "Hello, I'm here." And I'm like, "Do you have a time machine in your pocket or something like that? You just like move or bounce around all over the place?"
Yeah.
Basically what Genesis is that it's an operating system that John Connor is protecting because it's going to turn into Skynet.
Yeah, so they sent this John Connor back. His overall goal actually is not to kill Sarah Connor. It's to protect
Skynet.
He's actually working at Genesis to protect Skynet. He actually not only is protecting it, but they actually... This is where the whole time thing gets a little tricky with me, because he's not only protecting it, but he clearly gave them a lot of the technology to build it.
Yeah.
So it's all based on stuff that he brought with him,
including
liquid metal.
Yes.
Which we all saw the way that was going.
Yeah.
So he's at Genesis and Genesis has got this countdown of going live as to when the public will be available to download and use it to control all facets of their life, their cars, their homes. Here's my problem with that.
Yeah.
Brand new. We're clearly, they're talking about a brand new technology that hasn't been used before. Yet they already have 1 billion people subscribed. No technology works that way, ever.
Am I mistaken? Because I can't remember his name. Joe Morton's character in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is this his kid? I thought they said something that, like, because it was Cyberdyne.
It might be Joe Morton's kid. It might be. I did draw that parallel, but I wasn't sure if maybe it is.
Yeah. Basically, it comes to this big fight at the end. I mean, we're not going to go through the whole thing. You know where it's going. It's a Terminator movie. And it comes to a big fight.
They come in with bombs to blow up Genesis.
Yeah.
I don't know how they think that's really going to work. Because clearly, something of that size would have backup server farms all over the world.
No idea.
Not to mention, if that was really the only place, all they really had to do is sever their connection to the internet, as opposed to blowing up a whole building.
Yeah.
There are many ways, different ways to skin that cat.
I don't even want to say that this movie.
I guess they just get annoyed by Skynet talking to them, so they keep blowing out the cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not doing anything to them. Why not just hear him out?
That's like me in the Arkham Knight.
Right.
Driving that stupid Batmobile. I don't even want to say the Terminator 5, because this is the fifth one in the series. I don't even want to say it's a disappointment, because I don't think they should have made any movies past number 2.
Right. Clearly they should.
There's no reason for this franchise to continue.
Well, one reason.
Well, keeping Arnold Schwarzenegger in gold pants.
Yes.
There's so many things that they could do with this series. But because they tie every single movie
to
John Connor and Sarah Connor.
They constrain themselves to this very boxed-in story.
Right. When they could do anything.
Yeah.
These robots have taken over the world.
The world. To say it all comes down to like this one guy.
Yeah.
Enough already.
Like, right.
Once you start shifting timelines, you can go anywhere you want.
It's funny that he is a hybrid Terminator, because this movie is basically a hybrid of Terminator 1 and Terminator 2, and they just fused them together.
And we did say spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So the big spoiler at the end of this one is that, you know, it's referenced earlier in the movie that this liquid metal that takes on any form that's in mm-hmm. Genesis, you know, it's that they reference that it's right now
it serves
no purpose because it doesn't have any programming.
Right.
And at the end of this movie, the Guardian T-100, Arnold Schwarzenegger, falls into the liquid metal.
And of course,
he goes down in it. Of course, what that does is give the liquid metal its computer chip that it needs. And at the end of the movie, he's
hale and hearty.
He appears as a T-1000. And clearly the reason they did
I thought it was just repairing him or something like that.
No, he might have been like a hybrid. No, no, he's a T-1000.
Okay.
All his other stuff melted away. It used the chip in his body.
Because it was going into like his like cortex and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just repairing.
No. It okay. basically just used a chip. So his memory and everything.
Right.
And then it's a liquid body.
Okay.
So it's like a brain transplant.
Kind right. It does work.
Clearly the reason they do that as a plot point in this movie is because now they could actually make another movie following the same storyline without Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because that thing can become anybody.
Right, exactly.
It can shift into anybody.
Right.
And they can explain that away real easily at the beginning of the next movie.
Right.
I guarantee you that's why they did that.
Yeah, you're probably right. The problem is, looking at the box office, this probably won't be another
one. Just saying, I think that's where they went with that. Although, I don't think, it's not like Salvation did well at the box office.
The problem is, like, the rights keep on bouncing around to different people.
Right.
So that's why everyone is trying to make a new Terminator.
Thinks that they can be the one to remove.
And I think I read that in a couple years or 4 years, something like that, the rights revert back to Jim Cameron.
I was about to say, if James Cameron could get his hands on it again, maybe could be done with
it. This one got his blessing. He said he thought it was good.
And well, you know what? And it wasn't bad. Again, it wasn't bad. I mean,
it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. If you think about it. If you try to map that on a piece of paper, good fucking luck.
Yeah.
It's a fun, entertaining movie. It's got great fights, which is what Terminator's really all about. Outside of what we deem the real Terminators, 1 and 2,
right.
This is certainly the best of the bunch.
I guess. I mean, just don't think about it too hard.
Right.
And it's not as, like, offensively stupid mm-hmm. as, like, the Transformers movies. But,
yeah, right, right.
But it doesn't... It's like you said, it's so convoluted.
I had fun with it. It's just that, your brain starts hurting, especially at one point. I saw it with our buddy Trey. Mm-hmm. And at one point when Schwarzenegger is doing his exposition, I literally out loud, I was like, "Rah!" Like, I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. You're just talking too fast. I don't think we're supposed to get it. So just stop. But yeah, it's like, here's the deal with that. given that it really isn't going to make much sense anyway, certainly not to the audience. Like maybe if you're making the movie and you've got it all, it can make sense. Don't try so hard to explain it. If you know it's not going to make sense to the audience anyway, or that it doesn't, even more important, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Don't try so hard to explain it.
My favorite line in the whole movie is at the end when Kyle Reese goes, "We still had questions, but we'd find the answers together." I'm like, how? I'm like, how are you going to find out the answers?
Oh, yeah. And then at the end, you do find out at the end, but I guess we will say this because you did reference it. Kyle Reese's dreams. Or yeah. He goes, at the end, he visits himself as a kid who... They had already seen when they broke out of the police station.
Because his prince came back as Kyle Reese, right, and then they found the little Kyle Reese.
And they found that, right, who happened to be 6-year-old, and they're like, this makes no sense.
Right.
But he goes and visits him at his house, and he's the one who tells himself, I need you to remember this. Genesis goes live, and they need you to tell yourself this. And, hey, you know what a 6-year-old kid's going to do with that information? Whatever, you crazy fuck. And then he's going to forget that within a week. You know, he's not going to keep looking in the mirror every day and goes, this stranger told me I need to say this to myself every day, like an affirmation, like a daily affirmation.
But the thing is like, why are you still doing that? You blew up Genesis. You blew it all up. Yeah. I'm like,
When that kid said, I like her, talking about Sarah Connor, I wanted him to go so much... We're gonna fuck her one day. You got.
What does that mean?
You're in luck, kid, because we're gonna bone her one day. Gonna bone her hard.
Oh, so the reason why the Terminator movies basically
X-Men
rip off X-Men is that Days of Future Past, the comic book, which is. And they make it even clearer in this Terminator movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is like the future from X-Men. You know, like with the robots ruling everything, putting people in concentration camps.
Coming back to a new reality.
But that comic was published in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron made Terminator in 1984.
Yep.
So, and he said that his whole thing that he had, I believe this is right, he was sick and he had a dream of like the skull of the Terminator. And that's basically, he ran with that. And I'm like, man, you probably read a couple of X-Men issues too to flesh that out. Then on top of that, a major thing that's in X-Men, the reason why, you know, Cable, the character Cable,
yes,
you know why he's got a metal arm?
No.
Technovirus. They infected him with a technovirus and it just made his arm metal,
just like John Connor.
I'm like, can you rip off the X-Men anymore? is Amelia Clark gonna turn into Phoenix or Firebird?
Up until now, which you can still do it, but up until now, comic books have been so very niche and such a small populace of people that follow, especially the full storylines, that, you could so many movies did and could rip off comic books.
Yeah, but Jim Cameron's a guy I can see totally reading X-Men in 1981.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess this is the best one. Since Terminator 2. Salvation, they fucked that up in the trailer too by revealing that Sam Worthington was a Terminator.
They did. They get real spoiler happy in these Terminators because they feel like they've got to get people in those seats and this is the only way to do it.
From what I don't remember this personally, but my friend Josh told me this, is that the way he remembered that in Terminator 2, they didn't reveal that in the trailer, that he was the good guy. And then you thought that, oh shit, he's bad and he's going to get Sarah Connor and stuff like that. You know, like the way they cut the trailer, it still made it look like he might be the bad guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So that's good. Terminator 3, really the only thing I really liked about Terminator 3 was the ending. Because that ending was awesome. Yeah, I mean, like, you're fucked anyway.
Right. And it made perfect sense, but at the same time, it didn't make sense to make these other movies to keep trying to stop it because it said in that movie, yeah, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do was ever going to change the fact that this was going to happen.
Right.
And yet, here they are still milling around trying to do the impossible. And I guess, what are you going to do?
Of course, John Connor should have known that. Fucking idiot. So, and then Salvation, you know, I read somewhere that the reason why that movie suffered is because they wanted to be when they once they cast Christian Bale, they wanted to beef up his role, and that's what really killed the movie. Because Sam Worthington was supposed to be the hero, the main guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that could be, but
and John Connor was supposed
to had many other issues, but they could certainly all have been wrapped around changing the script up to
And John Connor was supposed to be like this recluse who like was like he was on the sub, and so they couldn't find him, so the Terminators couldn't find him. Yeah, it's so it's just like you're right.
It's,
these
it's not a terrible Terminator movie. For popcorn action, have fun with it. You will, but don't try to think too hard on it.
It's just it sucks. It's just because they could do it. The series does have potential as long as they do what Star Wars is going to do in the next.
Right.
One. I mean, you make new characters and you move forward with them.
The only word that comes to mind for this movie, even though I'm saying it's not a bad movie, is still it's the same one for as the past few of me. Unnecessary.
Yeah, it's completely unnecessary. Terminator 2 pretty much put the stamp of the final stamp on it.
Oh yeah. And I guess we did leave out the very end of this movie, which of course, they blow up all the buildings, but deep in the heart, down stories below of what they blew up,
deeper and deeper, way down,
Skynet lives.
Yes.
The big ball of Skynet survives underneath
it's
the ground.
It's the red ball from Star Trek 2009.
It is a giant glowing red ball. I assume they will have it go, become sentient on its own or something.
You know what?
Probably.
You know what these movies remind me of, especially the third one and this one, because at least in Salvation, they try to do something different by going into the future, that.
Yes.
But
keep it in the future. Yeah. That was an interesting twist. It just didn't work.
Yeah, but especially they feel like Nintendo games, where they basically make the same game over and over and over again, but just like a different coat of paint. You're just like, here you go.
Didn't they make a Terminator video game?
There was one in the arcade, which was like a shooting game. Yeah, they did in the arcade. Yeah, but like all the Mario games ever since Mario 64 are pretty much the same. Yeah. All the Zelda games since 64 are pretty much the same. You know,
those people buy them.
They do well, not as much as they used to because Nintendo's kind of struggling.
The hell, right now. Zelda's now going to be a show.
Well, suppose maybe. Yeah. That might not happen, I heard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I heard it.
The president of Nintendo said that's not really going to happen.
Oh, okay.
It's not making Jurassic World money, I can tell you that.
Still trucking along, man.
Still number one 4 weeks in a row. Maybe. The final results come out tomorrow, so.
I'm sure it'll still be.
Inside Out might nudge. The point is,
Inside Out will jump past it, I think.
Neither Terminator nor Magic Mike came in first or second.
Oh, we didn't talk about Magic Mike. Did you not see?
No,
Magic
I did not. Mike? I did not go see it. Okay. I saw enough in the trailer.
Oh, right.
That's enough junk thrusting in my face. I'm good, thanks.
Just a steel town worker on a Saturday night looking for the...
If they did not play Everybody's Working for the Weekend in those movies, they wasted an opportunity.
Yeah.
And had a fat guy up there shaking it like Chris Farley. They wasted an opportunity.
Look. Clearly, you've got the better moves. Clearly.
If we're going just on sex appeal,
you win.
Your body is just not good.
It's a little...
Yeah.
We just feel that the women might...
Prefer Adrian's body.
Okay. I get it.
Actually, like, I'm a piece of shit compared to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. And then my favorite thing is then Farley, like, tries to do the shimmy to him.
No,
like,
please don't.
They have announced a documentary.
Yes, Chris Farley, I am Chris Farley.
I will be.
I think it's going to be on VOD.
For sure. But I look forward to watching that anyway. Also, speaking of, we're looking at sequels and reboots and stuff. Did see the trailer for Creed at the opening of Terminator.
Yes, it was really good.
I'm looking forward to that.
It was really good. Yeah. Like as soon as I saw that it was him and it was boxing, I was like, "Oh God, here we go."
It came up, and I was like, "Oh, okay, Southpaw." Then I was like, "Wait a second, this isn't Southpaw." Oh, I was like, "Oh yeah."
See, I had the opposite reaction at first. I was just like, "Enough with Rocky." But then when I watched the trailer, it was really good.
It looks surprisingly original.
Yeah,
gritty. I like at least from the trailer's perspective how they play out the whole trailer and then bring in Rocky at the very tail end of it to let you know what it is.
Yeah,
if you didn't already.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan plays Apollo Creed's son in this.
Yeah, you're right. So the movie is called Creed. It's based on Apollo Creed's son
becoming a
training to be a boxer, and clearly Rocky will train him at some point.
And I did like how they kept it like. at least from this trailer, it doesn't look like they're going to make like a secret Rocky sequel into, you know, make this into a secret Rocky sequel. It's about the kid.
Which, you know, which is good. And I think it actually will be good because yeah. I even enjoyed Rocky Balboa.
I have not seen that one.
That was still a good movie. They went back to the roots, and I think if they be consistent with this one and do it again, Sylvester Stallone. Did he write this? Did he have any part in writing this?
I don't know. I'll have to check it out.
But it looks like a decent movie. Yeah. So yeah.
I think I was maybe turned off by his fourth Rambo movie. That was not good.
And he did. It's just script. Called John Rambo.
Yeah, and he did write that script. That script was terrible.
It was not good.
So when Rocky Balboa came out,
was good. Yeah, John Rambo was in this era. When it comes to Rambo, mm-hmm. I'm definitely in the minority class because I honestly believe that the only real Rambo is the original First Blood, which is called First Blood, which actually has a storyline that's real.
Yeah,
you know that it's about veterans and how they're treated. And
then
and,
they just basically became
and
Chuck
then
Norris
and
movies.
Then and then it became and then he became the action star Rambo,
right.
Which was never the intention of the original what was book and movie, right?
Right.
And there
was
still
a
good
book, wasn't it?
It was a book, yeah.
Wasn't Rainbow kind of
yeah, yeah, yeah. First Blood is I can't remember who wrote it. Morrell, Morrell, I think Morrell. But it, like, yeah, I like the original First Blood, the original movie, and then the other ones, they're fine action movies, but to me, they don't, you know, the story just it's. Not there at all, basically.
Well, they turned them, like I said, into Chuck Norris movies, because Chuck Norris movies are basically what they were. They're just like, you know, action. I gotta save my guys, you know.
Chuck Norris will kick the ass out of a Chuck Norris movie.
Whatever, dude.
Anyway,
he's also a crazy, crazy uber conservative.
Yes, he is.
Ryan Coogler.
Okay,
and he is the guy who directed Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, that's right.
He wrote the screenplay.
I'm gonna throw this out there. One of our friends, I won't name her. No, but she messaged me one day and she says, "Hey, what's this Wes Anderson movie, Fruitvale Station?" She thought Fruitvale Station was like a goofy Wes Anderson movie. I was like, yeah, enjoy that. That's a very interesting, that movie will make you mad.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
So that'll do it for this episode.
We talked enough of shit today.
Yeah, we talked enough shit. So next episode, we are going to continue with our Star Wars retrospective.
With the best one? Yeah!
Phantom Menace!
Yeah!
No, we're going to be talking about Empire Strikes Back.
I hate that movie. I hate that movie. It's a terrible movie.
If you said that Empire Strikes Back was the worst because it was the most boringest, then I'm going to just tell you how fucking wrong you are.
Doug and I agree the best Star Wars movie of the series.
So far. No.
The best Star Wars movie of the series. I have high hopes, but not that
Yeah,
high.
It's not going to be.
We'll never have the nostalgia factor, if nothing else.
Yeah, right.
So. Anyway.
But yeah, we'll talk all about Empire Strikes Back.
I think that's like my fourth or fifth anyway, which typically lets us end the show, so we should probably just end the show.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.